I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Recently, I was having an online debate. I'm not quite that foolish. But a discussion with a fellow priest of the diocese who is known to be extraordinarily cynical. And we were going back and forth about the future of the diocese and the bishop's election and all that sort of stuff. And then he came out with something. He said, you know, I really think this obsession with clergy in the 21st century being a wounded healer has really hurt our power. At first I thought, what? And then he sent me this next text. We have robbed ourselves of the strength of our ancient rank of power. I didn't write anything back. And I thought, and I pondered, and I came to this realization that I could not disagree with him more about what it means to be a clergy person, about what it means to be a priest. To steal from Tony Robbins and the documentary of his name, I am not your guru. I probably really shouldn't even call myself your pastor. The word pastor comes from the Latin word, you guessed it, pastor. And it's also the same word that is translated into English as shepherd. So I could be called not just your pastor, but your shepherd. But then when we have a gospel like today's gospel, where Jesus says, look, I'm the only shepherd of this flock. There are no other shepherds, and the ones that I have hired on, and to stretch his metaphor, have been terrible. I am the good shepherd. And I kind of read that as I'm the only shepherd, I'm the best shepherd, and all that sort of thing. So for me to live out my calling in this community as a shepherd is in some ways a usurping of the real and true work of Jesus. I am not a member of an ancient rank of power. I am not a shepherd in the way Jesus is. Even bishops probably should divest themselves of such illusions, along with many others. We have one, and he's Jesus, and he is the best one ever. Lays down his life. You know, to play with this metaphor, I think the best that I could wish for as a clergy person who is, you know, authorized to preside in the assembly is I'm a hired hand who does a good job most of the time. But then I'm also a hired hand who has done the job poorly a lot of time. I know my faults and my flaws, but I'm the hired hand, right? I'm the one who, and to a certain extent, the other clergy too, but I'm going to, you know, harp on myself today, so y'all are good. We don't function the way we should. We do shy away from tasks that we should engage in. We are imperfect, as Mother Alicia was saying, and we will disappoint you. At best, we're hired hands who function well some of the time. Or maybe in a less flattering but truer sense, we're the sheepdog. We nip at your heels, but we have no authority ourselves. We're not the ones that you are to follow. We're not the ones even really pointing the way in the field, so to speak. We take, or should take, all of our cues from the good shepherd, the best shepherd. And if we aren't pointing that way and nipping at your heels to move towards him, then we're not doing the job that we should. So I am not your shepherd. I am not your guru. I am not a member of an ancient rank of power living in your midst. I am one who has been given, entrusted with coming into your midst and pointing the way to Jesus as my full-time job. And part of this role, I think, is learning how to model different ways of being a Christian and being a pastor. At least that's something that I have tried to do. I had a whole other sermon written for this morning that I tore up and put in the recycle bin, so I couldn't go back on my word to myself that I was going to preach what I really thought I needed to preach. I don't know how many of you were in the 9:15 adult education class, Life Beyond the Tomb, which is all about reckoning with a world that is sexually violent. And how do we as the church live into our call to heal and to uncover? And I saw a group of people be so vulnerable in that room that I thought, man, I really need to say what I think I was supposed to say all along, which was something like this. Hi, my name's Chris, and I'm an alcoholic. On April 19th of this week, I celebrated 1 year of sobriety. Now, that may come as a surprise to some of you, because I didn't ever show up here intoxicated. I didn't ever, at least I don't remember doing it, right? My alcoholism was very private. My wife knew about it and had lots of things to say about it. My mother knew about it. My friends suspected it. But finally, it was Maundy Thursday of last year when I got on the internet and read a blog for one of my friends whose writing I really hate. Okay. So it should tell you how much of a miracle it was that I bothered to click on his blog and read what he had to say. And in that blog, he came out and identified himself as an alcoholic. I had been to AA meetings before, and I left them, and I always thought, these aren't my people, this isn't my story. Because I wasn't the stereotypical, bottomed out gutter drunk who wrecked his car and blew up $0.1 million, right? I thought I had it under control and thought I could hide it well enough. But as I was reading his blog, he says, I went to an AA meeting and I left there and I thought, these aren't my people, this isn't my story. The exact phrase that I used. And that's when I said to myself a word that I probably ought not say from the pulpit and went home and told my wife, I'm an alcoholic. And I told a couple other folks, and April 19th was the day I picked up my 24-hour sobriety chip. I am not your guru. I am a broken man, just like you. I need grace every single day. But I also know the power of the resurrection. And I had half a mind to say this on Easter Day, but everyone else had such better things to say that I wanted to give them the light. But to recognize and admit your brokenness is a very hard thing to do. But I was inspired by these people who were so vulnerable this morning that I needed to share that with you. This is my own way of laying down my life for you. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses to help? So I'll lay down my reputation, my pretense, my anonymity in a program named for its anonymity, and tell you that I have experienced real and true psychological brokenness and emotional brokenness and woundedness, and I have come out the other side because of the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's some really good news that I want to share with you. These aren't things that I just preach to you. These are things that I have to try to embody in my own self if I want to be and model what I think this community could and should be. A place where everyone can feel vulnerable and open and secure enough to be broken and trust one another to lift us up rather than to whisper quietly behind our backs. Certainly, no one has ever engaged in such conversation. rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. I am here in good health, in the best health that I can remember being in, because of Jesus, and because of people who stuck by me, and people who tolerated my character defects. So whatever it is you're dealing with, whatever it is that you are struggling with, who you are, what you've done, what you feel, it can't be quite as bad as having to get up here in front of 100 people and admit you're an alcoholic. You can do this. You can be healed. I didn't think I could. I tried several times to quit drinking and was unsuccessful until I had to go in and face the consequences and to admit the truth and then to live into an idea and to feel supported and loved by people who loved me. That's what the church should be. A place where any one of us right now could admit to these things and feel the love of a people who have themselves felt the love of Jesus Christ and transform one another by our support and love. I realize that this may change how you want to relate to me. I understand that. But I'm willing to risk that. To model in my own life, and not just with my words, that there is something about this Jesus and his resurrection that really, really works. And nothing that you could do could prevent you from enjoying that and reaping that in your life. So if you're here on a Wednesday at noon, you'll get to see me walk from my office to the AA meetings in the church, which is extraordinarily convenient and really hard to escape. Wherever you are, whatever you've done, however far down in a tomb you are, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, you can stand in good health too. Amen.